Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. I'd like to do a commentary on day 25. The Bible verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, and it reads, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." 2 Corinthians 5:20, and it's, the reading is called "An Ambassador for Christ" in that 90 days book. I wanted to speak about that Bible verse, and then to say some things about how it relates to what I have found out about my food and my eating. Looking at that Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." You know, this is part of a message that Paul is giving to the church at Corinth. And what he's trying to do is to emphasize the mission of believers as representing Christ. That's our task. We have been left here, I think it's in that 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. You know, where it says, "You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for its own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light." And so, as believers, we are, as some people say, we might be the only Bible that some people read. And so we have this task at all times to show that reconciliation that has happened between God and humanity. And people are not going to believe the message that we carry if in our execution of that message on a day-by-day, person-by-person, thought-by-thought way that we relate to people, you know, we are still back in our flesh. And so all of us can get into our flesh. The bottom line is that we don't want to stay in our flesh because we have a wonderful job to do. We have a beautiful purpose and place, you know. Some people go through all their life and they never discover their purpose and place. We know our purpose and place. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is making an appeal through us, you know. And so we want to be reconciled. We don't want to be fighting. The Bible tells us in another place in Ephesians 4, 30 through 32, for us to get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another. You know, we're called to do that. And if our the insides of us is not feeling that, that means that it's time to really stop, drop, and pray until something happens. Prayer and the Word of God will always get our minds back to what we need to do and how we need to behave. And sometimes it has to have a repeated application. But we must be very, very firm that we belong to him, and this is what we are called to do. In that digging deeper, I think it was a reference to go to a larger part of that in the Word to have a better understanding. If you look at second verse before it, some of the verses before it, tells us this. You know, Paul is explaining That if they are a new creation, the old has gone away. If you look at in 2 Corinthians 5, that's what I'm trying to think of, 17 and 18, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And we got to believe that. We have to believe that we're not who we used to be. That means that our feelings, especially, are not the boss of us anymore. We have to learn, with God's help, how to rise above our feelings, how to do what God is calling us to do. Like I've said, I have had to say, I don't know how many times, to my own self, more than what I feel, greater than what I feel, is what God has said to me. And I want to know what God has said to me. That's why I am in His Word. I don't want to pretend I know, or think I know, but to actually know that word. That's one of the other reasons why I work on Bible memory. It helps me to get it right, not to get into so much paraphrasing that I can't even remember. I'm sort of putting my own stuff in it, versus what does God's word say. And so, you know, this transformation reminds us that we have been called, we have a purpose, to live not for ourselves, but for Christ. He died, but He rose again for us. And so this section that this verse comes from, it also reminds us that we have a ministry of reconciliation. You know, God is in the process of reconciling believers to Himself through Christ. And, you know, we are getting, we're going from glory to glory, and also pulling or helping other people to come to know about Jesus. So I often think about what I'm called to do on a daily basis. I'm either called to tell people about salvation, and I tell them, of course, by my mouth, but most importantly, by the way I carry myself, the way I live my life. Do I believe what God's word says about being a new creation and about not being who I used to be? And of course, that means that where it comes back to the food, because if I am going back and running back to the way I used to interact with food, that was my mainstay, where I ran to it for everything, and definitely for an escape route. When I got tired, it was almost as if, you know, I could play the game for a little while. I could be good for a little while, but the bottom line is that I'm tired of this. I'm taking my ball, my equipment, and I'm going home, you know, and doing what I really want to do. But if I really am serious about this new life in Christ, I know that old life is over, and I'm not a baby anymore. I'm not that person, like I said, where I, you know, switch my garments and go back to being that old life. And I want to remember that I'm not that person. That's why I want to stay in God's Word. So I have this ministry of reconciliation. I also know that I am Christ's ambassadors. I have to act in the power of the Spirit as a representative of Jesus. That actually is one of the biggest reasons I don't want to get into the food. I know this about Jesus Christ. He loves me more than anyone could ever love me. He prays for me. I know that. He died for me. I know that. And for the one who has done the most for me, I have enough maturity to know that I don't spit in the face of the people who are like that to me, and especially the one who is like that for me, and that is Jesus Christ. I don't want my mind to be so caught up into you know, food, you know, the food and the, I call it the big I, and the big I is like, I call it being abstinent, but still obsessed about food. I'm still trying to get the biggest and the best all the time. Yeah, there are times that it's time to have an enjoyable food, but that's not my life. That cannot be what life is all about, where life is commercial, but the food is the main attraction. Jesus has to be the main attraction, and I don't have that attitude. I don't have that understanding. I don't have that belief if I neglect the word. And like I said, I can't fool myself about the word. You know, the being in the word means taking my agenda, putting it to the side, and putting my heart into God's word. What is this saying to me? What is it bringing to my mind? What has God already told me about these things? How in this very day can I live my life better by what I am seeing and reading and trying to remember in this word? How can I do that? I want to be Jesus's representative. I want to carry his message. And you know, his message is a message of peace and restoration. That's what it is. And so I can even look at my body gives me some indication of how well am I doing about that. Am I hyper? Am I, you know, when I call for myself, squirrely and running around? If not, if I am, then it means it's time to, again, stop it, to drop it, and to really pray that God helps me on that. And I want to take on that role as an ambassador, to urge people to accept the offer that he has, which is an offer of reconciliation. And, you know, the last part of that verse that we see in here, it says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled. You know, Paul is urgent in this. He's pleading with them. It's a tone of pleading that he has. Implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. And it's serious. Very, very serious. I was thinking today as I was reading, you know, in Hebrews, we cannot play games with God's word and God's message that he has entrusted in us. We can't, on one side, look, you know, ooh, I'm living this Christian life. Aren't I great? You know, and, you know, trying to impress. The Christian life is not for our impressing people. We're talking serious business of eternal life, that some people are going to die in their sins if we do not take serious the importance of not just speaking out this message of salvation and ambassadors of Christ, but believing it in our hearts and living it in our hearts. It's not going through the motions. It is having the Lord each and every day transform our thinking, and sometimes even throughout the day. And like I said, nothing that I know does it better than God's word. God's word, we even read that a couple of weeks ago when we were at the beginning of Hebrews 4:12, when the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. In the reading, as it pertains to my besetting sin of food, which was, you know, that compulsive eating that I was a part of, is, it talks about one of the worst things that I hated about it is, you know, how I felt about myself. I hated what I did with the food. And at the beginning, I couldn't see the binge coming. I couldn't. I would believe that lie of the devil. I can remember, like I said, going to grocery stores, hunting for stuff to binge on, and getting a high from the planning of that, planning the binge. It was like, whoa, this is going to be great. And then, you know, I near the very end, it didn't even take very long for me to feel the guilt and the shame and the hatred of, you know, again, giving into that type of behavior. And it would start showing up if I continued in it, which I would do sometime. I would go weeks and, you know, weeks of just eating in that way. And before long, people could see it. They saw it on my sadness on my face, but also the fat on my face. And they would also ask me, you know, what is wrong? And I could not hide it. People could see it. They could see it. And talked about, you know, I am his ambassador. So the way that I'm carrying myself, the way that I interact with people should be a drawing thing. And it highlighted in the reading today about the 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I love that that passage that verse is from, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so if I don't have any other agenda in a day's time, I can cling on to that truth. I'm called to be that way. I'm called to have that joy, joy, joy. I think about that little children's song, you know. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I want to have that type of passion in my life for the things of the Lord. And if I don't have it, I want to, with God's word, you know, bring that back to the forefront of my mind. I don't want to argue. And when I do argue, I want to clean it up, because it's not what God calls me to be. I don't want to argue in my mind. I don't want to be this person who is frowning all the time. I don't want to be involved in what I call now the 3 C's, you know, being critical, you know, letting my mouth criticize somebody, or competing with someone as if, you know, I'm still playing roller derby, or comparing. You know, my gift is different, and it's given by God. We all have our giftedness. It's not a competition. This is not roller derby by any stretch of the imagination. And I want to have that peace both inside and out. I want to be that. And so the prayer is true and still for me today. Father, I am so grateful for my salvation. That is a prayer that can come from my heart at the beginning of my day. I've said that before. I have not known how to live. I didn't know how to live like this. And he saved me. I like what it says in Titus. I think it's Titus 3:5. He saved me, not because of righteous things I had done, but because of his mercy. He saved me by the washing of rebirth and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And so I do pray in this day, Father, that many people will be touched eternally through the joy, the genuine joy that they see in my heart, Lord. I want to be a godly witness for Jesus' sake. Father, I am so grateful for the beautiful thing he has done in my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I pray. Amen.